to say Divrei Hesped on the Rosh Yeshivas itself. Very, very difficult task. There's a pasuk somewhere, it says, O'odom ha'godol be'anokim. Basically means person that was very, person that's great, he's a giant among giants. Shiva was a giant in many, many different ways. He was able to see things, he understood Bochrim so clearly. He could see things which would evolve. As Chazal tell us, Ayahizo Chochem Aroyos Anoilet. But he was a giant in his life, he was a giant in his midos, he was a giant in his Torah. Where did his koichos come from? So of course it came from his great Rabbeim, of course from Maran Rab Aaron Kotel Zecher Tzadik Levrocha, also from his parents, Rab Menachem Mendel, was a Talmud in Slabodke. And then, as he did from all of life, he learned and he kept on studying. When he married into the Navardika family, he got very involved there, as we all know, in Madregas Odom. He was very, very close with the Zayde Zeichat Tzadik Levrocha, with Rabbi Yafin, my father Zecharin Levrocha, and he got to know all the Talmidim of Navardik that was still there from Europe. And he was a blend, basically, of this background from Baron Kotel Zitzal and also from Slabodka, from Navardik. His Avos HaTorah was incredible. I remember the last year's Shavuos, he would try to come as much as he could. Stayed up, he loved it. He remained the yeshiva bocher his entire life. I mean, a young yeshiva bocher. He also, the love that he had for the Madregas O'odom, the Musar, and the Tochen, he was always working on himself. He never stopped climbing that ladder, which books have been written about it. I forgot exactly the name, climbing the ladder. He was always moving up, always steiging. He didn't rest on his laurels. And at the same time that he was steiging away, he made sure also to be mashpia on others, directly, indirectly. We know now is the time that everyone learns Pirkei Avos, the whole Messiah of the Torah is given over. He was our link to the whole Rockaway community, perhaps the five towns all over. He was our link to the previous generations. When you heard Torah from the Rosh Yeshiva, you heard Musa from the Rosh Yeshiva, you were actually going back, touching all the Torahs from before. It was a Gevaldik about Tefillah. Last years, of course, he didn't daven, but many, many, many years he was the Shatz. There's a pasuk over there in the Zechronis. Koyamar Hashem, Zacharti lo chesed niurayach, Avos klulasayach, lech teich achrei bamidbar bi'eretz lo yizaru, which basically talks about the Ava that Hashem has for Klal Yisrael. So we mention it in the Zechronis. Lech teich achrei bamidbar. Klal Yisrael was willing to go out into a midbar bi'eretz lo yizaruah. And that's exactly, and the Rosh Yeshiva would say this, that particular posseg, I believe, if I remember correctly, he would say it with a lot of emotion. And it really was a reflection on his own life. He was a young person, he was very, very talented. Could have easily become a Rav, and he had many, many offers to become a Rav. And many other things he could have gone into. And yet, he was willing to come to this midbar over here in Far Rockaway, a midbar ruchni, and he turned it in to a Gan Eden ruchni. And that came not easily. It came with Mesiras Nefesh, with Gvura. There were many people that were misnagged. They didn't want to have a yeshiva in Far Rockaway. And he battled. He was always a loichem. His whole life he was a battler. And he won. Gemara in Bava Kama says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, I'm man the boy, I'm a heva chassida. If a person wants to be a chassid, l'kayim mili de nezikin. It brings down also to be l'kayim mili de yovis, mili de brochis. So there's a Muridik and Marsho over there in that Gemara. Marsho Brick says that in the Maisim Toivim of a person, there are three halokim. He refers to it as Toiv labriyos, is that you're good for people, Toiv l'shamayim, and then you're also Toiv l'yatzma. And he says that's what the Gemara is really referring to with these three inyonim that the Gemara quotes. Mili de nezikim, that's an inyon of being Toiv labriyos. Nezikim, Bava Kama, Bamitziah, that's all teaches you how to deal with people nicely. Mili de yavis, he says a very tifa zog. Toiv l'yatzma, it teaches you how to be good to yourself. We'll talk about that in a moment. Mili de brachas is toiv l'shamayim. Mili de brachas talks about krishma, davening. That's Rosh Shiva, his lifetime was moisa nefesh on all of these three halokim. Toiv l'abriyos, his habotzes Torah, his musar. Way back in the days when he was in Yeshiva's Kamenitz, he was a ram over there. And then afterwards, a couple of years in Beis Yosef, Navardik, and Borough Park. Finally, he came out here to the Yeshiva's Derech Eison. Thousands of Talmidim. All over, directly, indirectly, on the whole neighborhood. He had a Gvaldika, whole Five Towns area. That's Toiv Labriyos. In orally, in what he gave over the Torah directly. What about his Svarim? What greater Toiv Labriyos is there for the Svarim that have become so popular throughout the entire world and will even grow now even greater than before? It was a Toiv L'Shamayim. That's Bur Brochus Krishma Tvila. The way he used to say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and he said it so loud and clear and proudly, was a limit for everybody. And he was a shliach tzibur, the way he davened during the Yomim Neiroyim, taught so many people how to daven. And then also he was a Toiv L'Atzmai, as we talked about before. Toiv L'Atzmai, which is perhaps the biggest chiddush. That's what Ovis is all about. Ovis teaches you all about how a person can be a Toiv L'Atzmai. You got to work, you could be a Toiv L'Abriyos sometimes, but it's not necessarily you're a Toiv L'Atzmai. You got to continue to work. Like we said before, that he was always working on himself, developing his midas, working on betochen, working on doing Navardika Pratim. For those that understand what Navardika Pratim, Rosh Yeshiva did many of them over the years. And that's the way a person becomes a Toiv L'Atzmai. He was so full of life. In Parshas Achri Mois, the Pasuk says, "Ushmartem es chukoisei ves mishpotei asher yaso isa odom b'chai bohem, ani Hashem." So the Shlo says, a gevaldike vort on that Pasuk. Zok the Shlo, this is coming to be meramis. What does it mean, b'chai bohem? That whatever a person does should be done with zrizus nifla, with a bren. That's b'chai bohem, b'chiyos nimratz, energized, full of energy. And he quotes a Rashi in Mesechtes Brochus. The Gemara talks about over there, Asar dvorim nemru v'koyshol brocha, and one of them is chai, it's negayet a certain halacha. So the Rashi, an incredible Rashi, which is a Laz Rashi, and the Shlok quotes it to bring out his yesod of how he's explaining Prat in the Pasuk. Frishke b'laz! Everyone knows what fresh, everyone could associate with that word, fresh. That's what v'chai b'hem means, Dr. Shlok. He had this freshness. He was always new, creating his chidushim. Never stopped making and always coming up with new pshatim. That was the Rosh Hashiva. It was gvaldik, the gvaldik, his koyach, and it energized everybody. He had what was a gvaldik a simchas achayim. It came just by being in the proximity of the Rosh Hashiva. He didn't have to go around, jumping around, but he had a gvaldik a simchas achayim. And as Rav Moshe Brown, Shlita Zalzayin Gesund, he mentioned the whole simchas achayim. He gave a simchas achayim to the whole, to everybody. to the Anholer, to the Rebbeim, to the Yeshiva, to whoever he met, even a Stam person. Another thing that I always appreciated, I always looked at it, he enjoyed the moment, now. He wasn't always, a lot of times people are thinking, especially people that are involved in building big things, their mind is always, what's going to be the future? Right now doesn't count, right now is not so important. He lived the hoiva. Every moment that he lived, whether it was with a big rabbin, or whether it was with nobody, or whether it was with a little child, he had that koyach of appreciating every moment of life, and he used every moment of life. Yesterday I heard from a Talmud, happens to be a relative of mine, happens to be my son-in-law, his name was Yonason Martin, Reb Yonason Martin. So he told me an incredible story. I think it's incredible, maybe because I'm the father-in-law. But anyway, so he told me the story. As a young bocher, he was once davening for the Yomid, Friday afternoon, Friday, and that time it seems that the Roshiva was davening late Friday, not an earlier minion. And he was the shatz, and the Roshiva walked in a little bit late for davening. So Mamela, it wound up that by the time he finished Chazaras HaShatz, which he wasn't even aware, when he finished the Chazaras HaShatz, it was a minute after Shkia. And after davening, he calls him over, and he says to him, I want to ask you for Mechila, because I was the one that was going you to miss the Shkia by 1 minute. He said, it made such a roishim on him when he was a young bocher at the times to hear that, first of all, the digdig b'halocha of the Rosh Hashiva, and then also to ask him Mechila. It's not a major story, but it is a major story. And I had a story right here in this base medrash. Yom Kippur night, I was zeicher one time to hold the Torah by Kol Nidre. So I was standing right over here. Right here. I think Rabbi Ron Kleinkamp was on the other side. And the Roshiva was in the middle of Kol Nidre. And I was holding the Sefer Torah. It happened to have been a very heavy Sefer Torah, and I was struggling with it. I didn't want to put it onto the. So I was holding it this. And the Roshiva is in the middle of Kol Nidre, and you can imagine where he's holding over there. And out of the corner of his eye, he must have seen that I was struggling. So he points with his finger. I should put it on here. I didn't want to probably put it on in my little shiva, whatever it is. He didn't say anything, of course, it wasn't mafsik. But I just want to show you, here he's in the middle of Kol Nidre. I mean, so I'm struggling a little. Nothing would have happened to me. I would have made it. But that was the Rosh Hashiva. He had the vision of looking on everybody, the whole klal, but at the very same time, he had the yochid in mind also. Someone else told me a story that I heard just yesterday. It was an interesting story. I'm not a big financial whiz or anything. He happened to have been inside the Roshiva's office some years ago. And it was, and someone called him. And they asked him a whole question about floating bonds. Don't ask me what it is, but whatever it is, it's something, floating bonds. It was Negayat Yeshiva, I think, or whatever it was. So the Roshiva sat there calmly, and he started discussing it. He said he thinks it's a good idea, and they should do it, whatever, you know. So this person told me he was amazed. Here it's Erev Yom Kippur. It was Erev Yom Kippur. It wasn't he could have simply told the person, you want to ask me this question? Call me up. We'll discuss it. We'll discuss it after, you know, after Yom Kippur. No. Someone asked him a question. I mean, obviously, it was an important question. It wasn't a Sakonis Avosha. It wasn't a question that couldn't wait till after Yom Kippur, but that was the Roshiva. The Roshiva was willing to, you know, to listen. Then I heard another story. Just yesterday, someone called me up, a Talmud that learned here for many, many years. It was very close to the Roshiva. And he called me over. He told me a very interesting thing. They're all small stories, but big at the same time. So he told me he had family members that weren't so, they weren't so frum. And they were learning Genesis. You ever heard of Genesis? They were learning Genesis. And they had completed Genesis, and they were going to make sort of like a party, like I guess a siyum or whatever it was, and they wanted someone to come and speak. So Reb Ezra His name was Rebbe Ezer Cohen, Zolzayin Gesund. He's the one that told me this story. So he said, I'll bring you someone to speak. And he went over to Rosh Yeshiva, and he asked the Rosh Yeshiva if he would be willing to go to Brooklyn to go and speak to this group of whatever. That was probably a small group, whatever it was. So Rosh Yeshiva said, yeah. That in itself is godless. Rosh Yeshiva wasn't looking only for Talmidei HaYeshiva. He was looking for every Yid, wherever you can make a Kiddush Shem Shamayim, wherever you can make someone closer to Yiddishkeit, especially if it came into his domain, he jumped at it and he used it and he went out. So he comes in there, and we all remember how the Rosh Yeshiva, you know, big, tall, a nice, a big beard. And these people are, you have the shaykhs, very, very shvacha shaykhs. And then they, you know, the Mistama were good and nervous in this. So Rosh Yeshiva started off speaking about the Museum of Natural History. That was the Rosh Yeshiva. He knew, he knew about everything, as everyone knows. And he knew that when he's speaking to these people, he wanted to put them probably at ease. This is the way the Rebbe Ezra told me. He probably wanted to put them at ease, that he's a normal person, and you know, and... You know, the Rosh Yeshiva was quoted by the Levayas, I think Rav Moshe said, it's also Angus, it was quoted that he talked once somewhere in public, and he talked about that the altar was normal. He was a normal person. The whole story, he said over there, it was normal. What was the part that he was trying to say that he was normal? So another Talmud from a different Kufa, from a recent, more recent Kufa told me, what he took out of that story was that the Rosh Yeshiva was trying to teach that it's within the hands of everybody. He was a normal person. If you look at him, that he wasn't a normal person, he said, oh, the altar reached the such madrigas. What shakas do I have with these kind of madrigas? No, he was normal. And every person can attain his level of wherever. And it's within everyone's grasp, such a thing. The famous story, we all know the story. I mean, most of the Ilum certainly knows the whole story with the Hatzolah, the incredible story of how the Rosh Yeshiva had to fight for his life one time when an intruder came into his house. He was able to knock the gun away from him. The whole story, that's Gevaldik Asyaita Rishmaya. Mitzray Shabbos, that night, my father, Zechroino Levroch, who the Rosh Yeshiva had a very, very close relationship with my father, called up and he asked, did anything happen over Shabbos? My father wasn't aware. It happened on Friday night, this whole incident with the intruder. And my father asked, did anything happen over Shabbos? So the Rosh Yeshiva was like very amazed. Like he says, well, you're like, yeah, like what? Like why are you asking? Like, you know, all of a sudden you can call up every Mitzray Shabbos and ask, did something happen on Mitzray Shabbos? So because he had a dream, and in the dream it said, Shemar Hashem is kol oyavav is kol rishoyim yashmin, posik and ashrei. Hashem loves, Shemar Hashem, Hashem watches us kol oyavav. Oyavav, that's who the Rosh Yeshiva was. His love for the Bnei Olam was incredible. And that's why he spread it to wherever he went, directly, indirectly. This doctor that the Robos, that took care of the Rosh Yeshiva for years, was amazed. Many times I heard stories from people that were there, she was amazed at the Rosh Yeshiva. He was a walking Kiddush Shem Shamayim, the Rosh Yeshiva. Not only in the yeshiva, not only when he said a shir or he said a shmuz, wherever he walked, people sensed he was the epitome of what the Gemara says, Shem Shamayim Messiah Val Yodecha. Shem Shamayim was always Messiah Val Yodecha. I remember once I was by a family gathering together, whatever it was, on the Yontav or whatever it was, or Hanukkah maybe, and during the Suda, he made a point of giving a Shevach to the hostess, setting up such a beautiful meal, and this, and he said, we say in benching, Hazones o'ilam kulay betuvay, b'chein b'chesed uverachamim. So, b'chesed, we understand, or Hashem's chesed, uverachamim. What is b'chein? What does it mean, Hazones o'ilam kulay betuvay b'chein? So he said, b'chein is, when you take a look at this table, and you see the way the whole setting, and the table, and the food is made in different shapes, and different things, and different colors, and he says, it's b'chein. You could sometimes serve a meal, and it's not necessarily b'chein. It was b'chein. He had an eye for everything. His artistic eye was able to chop such a thing, and used it to give a compliment, which he always did. I was speaking with my daughter maybe a half hour ago, an hour ago. She said she remembers one time my wife and I had to go away to Eretz Yisrael, and she was 9 years old at the time. She had to stay by her cousins and stay by the Rosh Hashiva. She was very nervous. So, and he drove us to the airport, and the Rosh Hashiva drove my wife and myself to the airport. We've been going there for a certain reason. Years ago this happened. And she was very nervous. My daughter was very nervous. How is she going to manage these next 10 days till we come back, or whatever it was? And then as he's passing down there, he comes along, there's a building over there with a smiley face with a round ball somewhere over there near Kennedy Airport. And he says, you know why they have that smiley face up there? Sometimes people get lost and they don't know where they're going. So they see a smiley face and that gives them chizik. What he was winking to her is, it's going to be good. Stop worrying. Stop worrying. She told me this mamasha maybe a half hour ago. But he knew how to relate to everyone. He knew how to relate to a little kid, to a 3-year-old, a 5-year-old, to a Talmud Chochim, to a Balabos, to a Lahavdol Elef Avdolos, to a Goy. That's Shem Shemayim, Sayev Al Yodech. There's the Gemara in Yevamos, the Bakanta Gemara. The Gemara says over there that we all know the Mesa Talmidei Rav Akiva. And then it says there was, the world was shamein, desolate at that time. Acher bar Rav Akiva, and he had five Talmidim, and these five Talmidim were Maimed Torah. They were the ones that established Torah. So I remember hearing once from my Rosh Hashiva, from Rav Rudiman Zechat Tzadik Levrocha. So he said that you learn from this Gemara the importance of how every person counts. And I think that this is a message that the Rosh Hashiva would also speak about. He would have wanted to speak about, and he did speak about such types of things. Person has to know that each person, imagine if these five Talmidim that Rav Akiva started anew after such a decimation of Torah that was so empty, it was such a void, Ad Kedei Kach, that Chazal referred to it as Shmama. It was like a bomb that blasted up the whole place. And each one of these five Talmidim, they didn't say, well, who am I and what am I? How am I going to be able to go do it? No, and that's what the Gemara is teaching you. The Rosh Hashiva showed everybody over here, young Talmidim have to know this, that every person can do great things in life. No one knows for sure that they're going to be successful. He didn't know, the Rosh Hashiva also didn't know that he was going to be successful. He had years of very, very difficult years when he started. And one person can be successful in Lomdis, and one could be in Musa, and one could be in Chveis and Askonis. But there's room for every person. A person has to know his own personal chashivas. And, of course, everything that he did was together with the Rebbetzin Zalzayin Gesund. She was really the MSA Isa Kenegdai, which gave him the koyach to be able to be Marbitz Torah and always very, very involved in the yeshiva. He left over such a beautiful family. Every one of the children. There's a posik at the end of Parashas Vayetze. It says over there, Vayikra Shem HaMokam Ahu Machnayim. When Yaakov is coming back to Eretz Yisrael, he meets up with Malochim, with the Machna Malochim. And the posik refers to it as Machnayim. When you look in the Rishonim over there, the Ramban and the Sapurno, basically the same sort of an idea. The Ramban uses the Loshen. What does it mean, Machnayim? Ki Machnayim Ba'oretz. His Machnayim Ba'oretz, meaning his encampment, his family was like Kamalache, was like the Machna of Elikim. It's showing you that a person could get to the highest levels. The Sapurna says, Machnayim means Shtei Machnais. Shtei Machnas Elikim, two Machnas of God. Who? The Malachim and his. His Machna was also. You look at the children, you get a tzir of what it means, a Machnayim. Every single one of them involved in Torah, in Arbotzes HaTorah, and learning, and even the wives and everyone else, I believe, is Kamat involved. He was always, his whole life, he was a Bereach Min HaKovet. The biggest cry is, look what happened by after such a, I don't know if ever in the history in Far Rockaway, if there was such a Levaya. Thousands of people, and not only that, and all the publications, just over now, just this one week, all over, so much, and everyone has saw a different thing in him. I'm sure if we'd go through all the Bochum and Yeshiva, each Bochum would be able to have his own thing. What do you see in the Rosh Hashiva? What did you feel? And that's what we had, and we have to cherish that, and we have to be machazik and to see that the Yeshiva Taka grows further, mechoyel al choyel, as it definitely will be, siyata d'shmaya, yehi zichrei baruch.